It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show, and today we are at Shimmer 113, and we're going to talk to somebody who was there. Will you please welcome back to the show, Miss Chelsea Spollen? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. It's nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back, Mom. We have missed you incredibly, but we're glad to have you here, and we're going to talk some Shimmer because you were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was. It was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
We could talk a little bit about The Other Side of Mania, which is our annual show. Last week we had the first section of The Other Side of Mania with Marcus when we talked about, well, it was the week before last, we talked to Marcus about Ring of Honor and New Japan and their show at Madison Square Garden. And last week we talked to Lola about like women's wrestling in general. But we're going to go over to some specifics this week. We'll talk about Shimmer 113. What did you think of the promotion before you went to this show, Chelsea? What were your thoughts on Shimmer in general?
So I've probably watched maybe like a dozen Shimmer shows all the way through, but that's it. And they're all from like all over the timeline. So I've watched some stuff from very early in their history. I've watched some random stuff where there were like 5-6 people on a card that I wanted to see. I really hadn't watched anything recent all the way through. I had only watched like selected handfuls of matches. I will say I like a lot of their shows. I think it's an amazing platform for women in wrestling. I think it's not an accident that so many of the women who are like the highest profile, most successful in the industry did a bunch of stuff in Shimmer first before they got to where they are now. I will say that for a long time, my big complaint was that it was so hard to watch their content unless you were like willing to order a DVD and wait several months for it to arrive. And that is changing. It is changing very slowly. But I hopped on their streaming service and did the free trial promo code thing that they had right when they first started it. And they didn't have a lot of content posted. When they have more content posted, I will probably cancel a subscription to something else and subscribe to that, because every Shimmer card has at least one match on it that I really want to see.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of dream match on this particular card, isn't there? There's a lot of things. I really wanted to see that. And there's a couple of things that are surprisingly good because of that, you know.
And I mean, you know, it was Mania weekend in New York. And like, if anyone was in New York that weekend and looked at the schedule, there was a absolutely absurd amount of wrestling to choose from every single day of that weekend. Like, this show ran, it started at 11 o'clock in the morning because that was the only way that everybody who was going to it would either like have time to get something to eat before the show that was running later that day in the same building, or would have time to get on the train and go to Stardom, which was a significant chunk of the audience. They moved the Shimmer time, I think, up by an hour once Stardom announced, because they wanted to make sure people could go to both because they knew people would. Yeah. So, I knew they were going to have some cool stuff on this card. And I'm really, really happy that I got to be there.
Okay, then. So let's start at the beginning, which was indeed a Shimmer Championship match. Nicole Savoy successfully defends against Hiro Matsumoto, the Lady Destroyer. I love Hiro Matsumoto. She's just amazing. She's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. And Nicole Savoy, must admit, first time I've really seen anything in depth, but she is such a good representation of what Shimmer Women Athletes is about. And this was a handy matchup, a championship. They were difficult when you put the championship in the opener, how it's going to be received, but this wasn't going to be a Matt Classic because it's the opener and it doesn't always need to be a Matt Classic, but it was very, very good. Matsumoto really put some effort in. Nicole Savoy is an excellent champion. What did you think of this, Chelsea?
Oh, this was so much fun. I was so excited to see Hiroyo Matsumoto. I had never seen her in person. She is so much fun. Like, she's just a breath of fresh air. She will kick everybody's asses and scream at you, and she totally comes across as Lady Godzilla. Like, that concept is so silly and fun. I love the the rubber dinosaur mask. Also, I have to say, she does something that everybody should do, which is A lot of wrestlers charge money to take pictures with him, and that's great. That's fine. I'm not someone who's against that. I think that's great. She has a Polaroid camera at her merch table.
Aww.
And if you pay $10 to take a picture with her, you can take a picture with her and she'll sign it for you. And she holds up the rubber dinosaur mask in the picture. And it's one of my favorite things I've ever bought at a wrestling show. Like, the whole experience of that was, you know, I get to talk to this amazing wrestler. And, oh, my God, she's, like, so tiny and so sweet. And she asked me if I was going to other shows and if I was having a good time. And so I had that experience. And then I had, like, an actual physical souvenir that I can put up on my wall as a, you know, like a little memento. So that concept is awesome. More wrestlers should take Polaroids. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the match was really, really fun. Nicole Savoy is someone who just keeps getting better and better and better over time. Like, I'm so impressed with her. I remember when she won the Heart of Shimmer Championship. And at that time, I thought she was good and had a really cool attitude, but I didn't necessarily think that the wrestling had entirely gelled together yet. Like, I saw a couple of matches with her and I was like, man, she's going to be great one day if she keeps at this and doesn't get injured. And I think she's there. I think she's arrived. She is so strong. And the whole Queen of Suplexes thing, for a long time, I didn't get it, but all of them were like cool and crisp looking and it didn't feel too gimmicky. It felt like a thing she says about herself that wasn't overdrawn, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fine line to walk in wrestling. Because it's really hard to build a character and a gimmick around your moves. And I think she has managed to just, you know, like, she's Nicole Savoy and the Queen of Suplex thing is just kind of like part of the package, but it's not overshadowing her at all. Yeah. It's not too prominent. It's the right thing. So I really enjoyed this match. It was a great way to open the show. The crowd was super hot for it. And I liked seeing the way those two worked together. They looked like they were having fun.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Hiromu Matsumoto's name, the Lady Destroyer, she got that nickname in her rookie match, in her debut, when she broke a wall. she's awesome. That's one of the reasons why I love her. And watching her in championship matches in Japan has been, she's just amazing. But yeah, excellent at first match. Next matchup was an 8-way match, a scramble match, if you will, going back to the early days of Shimmer. They've always had scramble matches. Shimmer came along about the same time as Ring of Honor, and the fact the two companies were interlinked for a long time, they're not anymore, but they still do like a scramble match. And this one was very cool. Hayan defeated Leva Bates, Ali Rex, Brandi Lauren, Brittany Blake, Indy Hartwell, Shotzi Blackheart, and Vader Scott. This was also get everybody on the card time. As we say, like, literally every card at WrestleMania weekend had a match like this. The Honor Rumble, where we got to see Liger and Muto, obviously was a, you know, get everybody on the card moment. But it was fun for what it was. Leva Bates, by the way, dressed as Britney Spears.
Yes!
For
oh
this
my god,
particular
that
matchup.
Was like the 90s girl in me really, yes, really loved that. It was so much fun.
But this was just hilarious. 12 minutes of high spots, really, to be honest. That's pretty much all it was. Just high spots and fun stuff. And a big kind of like, it was kind of like a parody of what indie wrestling is. We had a big blade out layout at the end and everybody got going again. And yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, I really enjoyed this one. What do you think, Chelsea?
I thought this was really fun. I had seen most of the women in it before. Ali Rex and Brandi Lauren I've seen at Shine. I've seen Shotzi a few times in a couple different promotions. I've seen Indy Hartwell before, and man, I like her a lot. She is really good.
Yeah,
Brittany Blake is someone who stands out to me as someone who kind of like got good overnight. Like, I realized belatedly that I had seen pictures of her back when she was just a cosplayer, because I think she had a couple of viral photos that were really popular back in the day. And as a wrestler for a long time, she was someone who was there next to other people I knew, but I didn't really know anything about her. And I saw her wrestle twice over that weekend and thought, man, she's really getting good. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Shotzi was super over in this match, and I love Shotzi. She is so high energy, And I love that she seems like somebody who's high energy and a daredevil, but she can also have just like a good basic match with anybody. And I really appreciate that. I'm going to say a controversial thing, which is I don't get Veda Scott. I want to. I want to, because she seems like a nice person. I know a lot of the female wrestlers that I like really, really like her and like working with her. I know there's a large following for her in wrestling fandom, and she's obviously someone who's put the time and the hours in. But I've seen her in person, I think, twice now, and I don't get it.
Okay. I mean, there are people out there. I quite like her. I think she's pretty cool. I like what she does. I haven't seen enough of her in singles matches to get a real feel for what she's like. But as a person, she's always like willing to talk to you on Twitter, and she's a good person. And from what I understand, and
she seems very nice. She's never said or done anything where I'm like, oh, I don't like her.
No.
But as a wrestler, maybe it just hasn't clicked for me yet. And if I saw her in a singles match, I would get it. Like, I don't know. I was hoping for that when I saw her come out for this match, and I didn't get that. I was like, maybe I'm going to get it this time. And it hasn't come in for me yet.
I mean, the thing is as well, we've talked about everyone in this match except for Haiyan, who won.
Yes! Oh my god! Also, I didn't say anything about Ali Rex either, and I wanted to say that I've seen her in Shine a bunch of times, and I think she's really good.
Yeah.
Haiyan, I had never seen her in person before, I don't think. I definitely saw her on a card previously, but she did a 450 splash in this match, and I remember that, but I also remember that it looked kind of painful.
Yes.
She didn't really stand out to me in the way that you would hope someone who's going to win a big match like this does.
No. She's perfectly serviceable, but yeah, not quite. I mean, maybe this is kind of the idea, to get her over, because she's just beat all these people who are really good.
But she's, commentary said that she was trained by Booker T's school,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that I know that, it kind of... I feel like I understand her a little bit better, because I feel like some of the other wrestlers I've seen that Booker T has trained, a lot of the women wrestlers, like, they have a really solid foundation in terms of like the basics of wrestling, but oftentimes it takes a little while for the character stuff to come in.
I feel like that's more
the emphasis in his school. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no,
I don't know, that's my impression.
I think that's the kind of the case with a lot of pros. I was talking to Patrick Sooty, who plays the character Dr. Leonardo in Rise, in a promotion from Leeds, because I did the next month's FSM one to watch. And he was saying he trained with Andre Baker in the UK, and then he trained with Lance Storm. Not Lance Armstrong, as Mike Freeland said the other week on Freeland Wrestling Rewinds. Lance Storm. He trained with Lance Storm. And he said, I learned so much about basic wrestling maneuvers, but it wasn't until he worked with, I can't remember his name now, another a famous junior cruiserweight champion who was WWE, and he's been Impact Wrestling and back in cruiserweight to back in 205 Live now, and I can't remember his name. Completely escaped me, but he taught him more about, you'd expect him to teach about high spots and stuff, but he actually taught him loads about character wrestling. So he didn't get the stuff. He got how to work a match and be a pro from Lance, but he had to grow as a character somewhere else. And I think a lot of the pros of the Attitude Era, it seems, I would put an emphasis on basic wrestling. You know, get a solid match together first, let the other stuff happen around it, which is not a bad way of going about it, because it means you'll always get work.
Not at all.
You will always get work because people want you. So
Yeah.
All right, the next match was a singles match. AK-47, Allison Kay defeats Chris Statlander. This was pretty damn good. Statlander's Shimmer debut, I believe. Allison AK-47, of course, formerly of Impact Wrestling. And I've completely forgotten her name in Impact Wrestling. It's that long ago.
Sienna,
that's the one. There you go. I only watched her on TV every week for 3 years. You'd think I'd remember that.
And I almost never watched when she was on it.
It kind of like washed a bunch of stuff away from me, because Impact matches, all Impact Wrestling matches, are kind of wash over you after you've watched for long enough, because they are a setup story, high spot, finish, because they have to be, because they're 8-minute TV matches.
Yep.
So, To watch her wrestle and be free to do as she wished was a refreshing change for me, and I really enjoy Allison Kay. And Chris Statlander was very good too. And this was a very watchable match and a good first performance. And she got a bit of respect there from Allison Kay at the end of the match. So I thought that was pretty cool. What did you think of this, Chelsea?
Yes. So I love both of these two. I didn't recognize Chris Statlander at first because she changed her hair. But once I realized it was her, I was like, oh my God, she's awesome. I didn't know she was going to wrestle Allison Kay. I think originally the match that had been announced was Allison Kay and Chris Wolfe. And I think they changed that because of Chris's injury issues. Allison is freaking awesome. I've met her twice and she could not be nicer. She is like super, super sweet. And also, I mean, you know, it couldn't be a bigger difference from her character because her character is such a mean, bitchy heel. And I really enjoyed this match. It was a lot of fun. I will say that I could tell that they were both holding back a little bit. And I can't blame them because Chris Statlander worked 3 matches that day, and yeah. Allison Kay's match that she had probably about an hour and a half after this one was Miyu Yamashita.
Yes.
So they were holding back, but I forgive them. I hope that at some point in the future we get to see them have a big match where they're not holding back, because yeah. both of those women like to hit people really hard. And I would like to see them do their particular brands of violence at each other. I will also say it's fun. Like, one of the things I remember about this match is that the energy level from a Shimmer crowd is just so great. Like, I love that the crowd knew who both of those women were and was excited about them. And even though the match itself wasn't, like, you know, structured to be a main event and it was in the middle of a card, they still gave it its due. And yeah. I remember thinking, I really appreciate that, and I love that when you have a wrestling crowd that wants to appreciate things. And that is a feeling I had through a lot of this card.
yeah, the crowd was really hot, and they really yes. appreciate this matchup. And again, yeah, it's a debut match, and you're right. I think also as well, they didn't want to take away from anything else on the show. You know,
yeah, that's true.
You can't let everything hang out all the way through a show like this because people burn out very quickly, and yep. it's not fair on the main event. So yeah, it was really, really good. As well, you've also got to bear in mind the main event was Samantha Heights and Dust, which we'll talk about at the end, obviously, but they're not yes. as well known as people like Shazam McKenzie and Sue Young and Allison Kay. So they have to give people room to yeah. maneuver and not take away from that as well. So yes. Yeah. This was very, very good, though. As was the next singles match. Shazam McKenzie defeated Sue Young, the Australian, versus the Undead Bride. It was very, very good as well. What's your thoughts on this one?
Oh, man. So I love Shazza. She can do everything. Like, she can do high spots. She can do great mat wrestling. She can, you know, just get in there and kick people in the chest. She's just awesome. Sue Young is just... there's nothing like her anywhere else in wrestling. And I know that there are a lot of people who don't like her theatrics, but I think they're fucking awesome. I think her Undead Bride character is just so cool. And there are spots that she does in this match that I have seen her do before, like her hanging neckbreaker stunner and the thing she does that's not a sliced bread, but where she kind of like creeps up the turnbuckle. Like, I've seen her do that stuff in person before. I still never see it coming when it happens, if that makes any sense. Like, she manages to keep what she does fresh enough that I never feel like I expect exactly what's going to happen next. I never feel bored when I'm watching her. I really enjoyed this match a lot. Like, the striking is pretty safe, but they still managed to make it look really convincing and brutal. And some of the spots they did were really, really intense. Again, it was the kind of thing where I could feel them both holding back because they weren't the main event. And I would, you know, it was another one where I was like, I would like to see those two in a main event. That's the problem I have with every big women's wrestling show is I'm like, if you just put that on last so they could really go all out, what would we get out of it?
There's about 6 matches on this card that you could do that with, though.
Yeah, right? I know. But I thought this was really fun. It was one of my favorite matches I saw that day. I think those two have good chemistry, and I would like to see them have like a chair match or a table match someday, something like that. I think that would be good.
I think that would be very, very good, in fact. Just a note on Shaz and McKenzie. I just was just thinking, back in the early 70s, there was a character in Private Eye magazine, which is a British satirical magazine, written by Barry Humphreys, character called Barry McKenzie, who was the epitome of everything Australian at the time, specifically the kind of thing that annoyed English people about Australians. He was a private detective who was drunk and a bit loud and, what's the word, lewd as well. And I'm wondering if she picked the name up from there. Because she does, like, when you think of Australian wrestling, you think Shaz McKenzie, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's that was just something that stuck into my mind. It was like the thing about, like, Los Ignorables and Sam Peckinpah I talked with Marcus a few months ago. I think it's just popping into my head every once in a while. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so it was very, very good. Next up was a Shimmer Tag Team title match. The current champions, cheerleader Melissa Mercedes Martinez, defeated Twisted Sisters Holly Dead and Thunder Rosa. I have to say, watching cheerleader Melissa and Mercedes Martinez walk into a ring is very, very much like watching the Horsemen walk into a ring 30 years ago. Like,
yes!
They walk in like they own the place. And they do. And you are grateful to be in their presence.
And yes. We were all standing up and taking pictures for them.
Yes.
Like, everybody got up. Everybody had the cell phones out. Like, let's get some pictures of these living legends while they're in front of us.
Yeah, it's a bit like watching Nick Bockwinkel and Pat Patterson. No, it wasn't. Nick Bockwinkel and Ray Stevens. You watch old videos of them. They did that thing where they, like, walk to the ring and no one dared move because they are gods.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were the ones that beat up the Road Warriors for not selling one night. and you could imagine cheerleader Melissa and Mercedes Martinez beating somebody up because they didn't sell properly. Not that they would.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice people.
Oh, yeah.
But yes. And Twisted Sisters have been kind of like the tag team draw on the women's indie scene in North America for quite some time. So this was another dream match, which, again, if you'd stuck it in the main event, everyone would be well happy with. It wasn't, but it was bloody good.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on this one, Chelsea?
I love the Twisted Sisters like so much. I sound like a dumb valley girl saying it that way, but seriously, they're so great. I bought t-shirts from both of them. If any promoters are listening to this, please book them on all of your shows because they're freaking amazing. They can have a spectacular match with anybody. I love all their hot tag combo moves. I love them picking each other up and throwing at people. Like, it's just so great. They're brutal and they're nasty and they're mean and they're also really, really fun. The problem I have whenever I see Mercedes Martinez in a tag team match is I want Mercedes Martinez to have singles matches with both of the Twisted Sisters. Like, I want to watch that. I also was like, she and Melissa can have another one, because I know they've had a match before this at least once, that I have seen clips of on the internet. But also she can be a great tag team wrestler because she's Mercedes Martinez. She can fucking do everything. She's a living legend. I cannot fathom why she hasn't been signed by somebody yet. It does not make any sense to me. I have to imagine that people have offered her deals and she just chose not to take them for whatever reason, because I, like, how do you not sign somebody like that? Cheerleader Melissa is really interesting to me because she totally deserves to be one of those people like you were talking about before, James, about, you know, everybody treats her with reverence and respect because she was out there holding it down for women in the indies for a long time, mm-hmm. when there were not so many women who were able to do that. The thing is, I sort of feel like there's a point now where I feel like I need something new from her.
Yeah.
And I just haven't seen it yet. I was kind of waiting for it in this match, but maybe this match, because it's a tag team match and it's like, you know, on this card in the middle of this day, maybe it wasn't the right place for it. But I'm sort of waiting for, like, the next thing from her, if she's gonna keep being out there and being on big cards like this one. That's not to say she's a bad wrestler. She's awesome. But I just want a little something else.
There needs to be reinvention when you've been around this long. I mean, it's not like she stood still either. The cheerleading Melissa you see today is way different to the cheerleading Melissa you saw 10 years ago. But
yeah,
I know what you're saying, definitely.
You know, and like I that's if I have a knock on this match, it's that. Other than that, this match is really, really fun. For a while, I was kind of like, the problem with this match is that somebody has to win it. it's really good. There's an ugly botch in the middle of it, but it didn't stop me from enjoying it. I was just like, moment of concern of like, is everybody okay? It's like the rest of this card. It's really very good and very enjoyable.
if you do want to one of the match that's popped into my head, if I remember correctly, it was Cheer Melida Melissa did wrestle Io Shirai for the World of Stardom Championship. I think it was Io Shirai.
Ooh,
which you
okay,
should be
I
able
to
find
that.
On YouTube. It was either Io Shirai or Naina Takahashi. And let's be honest, if it's Io Shirai or Naina Takahashi, it's well worth a watch. This was when cheerleader Melissa was Shimmer Heavyweight Champion. So we're talking about 6 or 7 years ago. But go look it up because it is really, really good.
Definitely.
Next is Tess Blanchard. She defeats Britt Baker in kind of a signature match of North American Women's Indie Wrestling of the last 12 months because these two are very, very good and they wrestle each other a lot. And it showed because this was super slick professionalism in your professional wrestling. Here's the thing. Tessa Blanchard acts like she wants to be like cheerleader Melissa. And I only just click with that today.
Yeah,
that's the thing she's trying to channel because of watching them back to back. I was like, Tessa's trying to be what Melissa already is. And I think she's aware of that. I don't see a problem with that because that's what Tessa's trying to be. And I think that's really, really cool. A good way of going about things because she's trying to have that poise and that grace, but she doesn't have it because she's this sniveling little wretch of a woman. But it works really, really well for her. Interesting to see where they go with her on Impact Wrestling, considering if she will end up doing mixed gender matches, because that's something that Impact seem to be experimenting with. Not in a particularly, as we talked about with Lola last week, it's a bit hodgepodge and all over the place. But they did book on the following weekend in New York. I think maybe even this weekend in New York, it was supposed to be Tess Blanchard versus Eli Drake before Eli went a bit crazy go nuts over the intergender thing. So that would have been interesting, I think, to see what those two big name players with very similar kind of characters.
Didn't he just get fired?
Yeah, he got fired. It's basically.
What a moron.
Yeah, basically, I think I'm still in two minds of whether he wanted to get fired or not. Because I could see that the company was going in a direction he didn't really want to go in. And he made that very clear. And he did it very clear and very publicly. But he perhaps, as me and Lola discussed this last week, but basically, now I've had another week to think about it, he shouldn't have just. It wasn't his fault he got booked in a match he didn't want to do for a start because the company should have gone to him first and said, hey, do you want to do this match with Tess Blanchard? That's the first thing the company should have done. But then you don't go on the internet and say, hey, I'm not doing this and intergender wrestling is wrong, when clearly the company is trying to push intergender wrestling as a thing that it's doing to make itself different.
What? I mean, it's not even that. It's how many of the top female performers. Well, let me back up for a sec. The women's division in Impact is the thing about Impact that people talk about. It's the only thing in Impact that people who are sort of casually invested in it even talk about at all.
Yeah.
How many of those women have made big careers for themselves out of intergender wrestling?
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost all of them. So, it was just a phenomenally stupid thing, and you're right. I mean, maybe he did want to get fired, but which to me, certainly, I don't think WWE would ever hold it against him if he was like, I said shitty things about intergender wrestling, because WWE always operates as whatever you said on Twitter doesn't really matter now, as long as it wasn't bad enough that you got, mainstream media attention for nobody from TMZ is gonna give a fuck, right?
No.
You know, he could get an NXT contract maybe, sort of, if they were interested. But that's kind of my thing, is what are his prospects outside of Impact? Are there any?
No, because here's the thing. He's been to NXT before. That's why he ended up in Impact. Look what they've done with EC3, who was essentially the guy he replaced in Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
So do you want to go there? That means Ring of Honor. and his stick doesn't necessarily stick with that crowd. So that leaves you New Japan, and he may work in New Japan, but he would have to change things up an awful lot. He would,
I don't think he's good enough to work there. I'll just say it. He's not on that level.
He's not on. Yeah, he's not as good as even like Chase Owens or Jay White or Juice Robinson or any of the Gaijins they've got, because they know that style inside out now.
And not just they know that style. Like, all of those guys were really good before they got there. Yeah. In a way that I like. This is my thing about Eli Drake, right? I kind of feel about him the same way I feel about Dolph Ziggler. Where I look at them and I'm like, you're a very capable wrestler. I also don't care. I also can tell that you're bitter about the fact that I don't care. Why would I pay money or, like, you know, go out of my way to watch something you're a part of when I know that you're angry about everything that's happening right now? Like, I have enough bullshit anger to deal with in my life from other sources, you know. Like, I don't want to pay to watch that. It's not interesting. No. There's no passion in that pain. It's just pain, and it sucks. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, and it's, I think he's done some interesting stuff, and I do enjoy his work. But again, you're right. He's not got the chops to carry it in New Japan. He could probably get a job in All Japan if they could afford him. Noah is a no-go zone right now for any Gaijins because they just can't afford anyone. So that leaves CMLL or AAA. AAA he'd actually do quite well in. And he'd be about the right size, but he'd hate it because it's like at least 50% hardcore violence, which is another one of the things he doesn't like. Which smartly, Impact made an entire angle about. It was like one of the most interesting angles that they've had. And it's like, you've channeled that anger into something positive, but then you channeled your other anger into something not positive at all. Anywho, but yes.
Anyway.
Yes, Tess Blanchard and Britt Baker had a very, very good match, which was full of reversals and all sorts of cool stuff. And again, like we said, these guys know each other really, really well. And it might be the last time we see this for a long time, because obviously Britt Baker's off to AEW and Tess Blanchard is kind of the woman of Impact Wrestling at the moment. So, yes, it was very good.
Yeah. I don't care for Tessa as a person, but I think as a wrestler, it's undeniable that the person who she was telling us all that she was going to be like a year ago, she's reached that level. She absolutely looks like a TV star no matter what she's doing. She is super crisp and she's so strong, and she finds ways to make her strength impressive. It's really cool. Britt Baker looks like a TV star. Absolutely. Like, when she came out in the, you know, the bedazzled lab coat and the super fancy green sparkly gear, I looked at her and I was like, you know, she doesn't really look like anybody else who has that sort of, like, glam aesthetic. Like, she's kind of doing her own thing. It's not a very risky thing, but she's doing her own thing and it works for her. This is kind of where I'm at with Britt Baker, right? She was one of those people where AEW, when they announced her, she was like the first female talent they announced. And a lot of people were saying, really? That's who's going to be the face of your women's division? And I sort of went into this thinking, I can see why people were asking those questions of, like, is Britt Baker really the person you want to put at the forefront of your division? But I think she's going to get to the place where she looks like a star all the time, the way Tessa does right now. I think she's going to get there in like 6 to 8 months tops. Like, she's almost there. You can feel it. And everybody says she's so nice and so professional. And you were saying, James, you mentioned the professionalism in this match. You could see it, right?
You
could absolutely see it. So I totally get why they picked her to be at the forefront of their women's division. And I'm excited to see what's next for her. I enjoyed this match. I thought it was really fun. And I sort of felt bad for the girls who came after it, because I think it was the match that was sort of the main event for a lot of people that day. Like, that was the big one they came to see, and maybe they sort of checked out a little bit afterwards.
I don't think the next match suffered because it was a whole bunch of emotional stuff, but certainly the main event probably did a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually, good analogy from the West Wing, I've just remembered, when the vice president, Bingo Bob, hires Will to be his chief of staff. He says, "Do you pick when you're picking a first baseman? Do you pick the guy who can hit hard or the guy who can run fast? You pick the guy who can run fast because you can always teach him to hit hard."
Yeah, or I think it's like you pick the guy with the bad form.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, anyway. Yes, Britt's not there yet, but she's going to get there. I have all the confidence in the world in her. Like, she's totally going to make everybody who doubts her sit up and go, "Oh, yeah, actually, I really like her."
Yes. Right then, next match was 8-woman tag team match. Now, there was a thing on Twitter that said, "When was the last time you cried whilst watching professional wrestling?" And I can tell you now, it was this match.
Aww.
Because it was Chris Wolf's last match in Shimmer, and Chris Wolf is one of my favorite wrestlers. She's not just that, she's one of my favorite people in professional wrestling. Chris Wolf is everything that is great about pro wrestling and everything that is wonderful about pro wrestling, and the fact that she has to retire because of injury sucks.
And yeah, it does.
I am going to miss her in pro wrestling matches because she's such a positive person, she's such a positive influence. And she wasn't a wrestling fan as a kid. She got into wrestling purely to get into Joshi and went through hell to be a professional wrestler. And she ended up being one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I love her to death. And to see one of her last matches was an honor. And I hope she has a great retirement because she deserves it. And this match was just everything in 25 minutes of just joyous pro wrestling and what pro wrestling should be about. It should be fun. It should be entertaining. It should have silly grudge matches in it. It should just be cool. And this was cool. And that's my take on this. Chelsea, what did you think of this?
I'm getting like a little misty-eyed. I'm so happy that I got to see Chris Wolf before she retired in person because she's awesome. I totally agree with everything you said about how great she is. Her positive energy is just so refreshing. She's a breath of fresh air. She's super unique. There's nobody like her. There's nobody that does the silly things that she does, and it's awesome. I love that they put her on a team with the Sea Stars and Solo Darling because I love all of those women. it was like team, absolutely everybody in this is someone that I love and adore on their own, and now they're all together competing as a unit. It was just great. Honestly, I got emotional enough about it being Chris's last Shimmer match, and also the last time, I mean, you know, first and last time I was ever going to see Chris, that like the details of the match really didn't stand out for me so much. But I mean, it was fun. I felt very tired and emotional by the end of it, but it wasn't the bad kind of tired. It was just, it was like, that was a lot. And, I love Chris and I hope she enjoys her retirement. And I hope that she's not entirely done with wrestling. You know, I hope that there's some, capacity in which she'll be back. And if that's not as a wrestler, maybe as some kind of a manager or doing something else. I don't know. If she ever wants to do that for herself, I hope that she finds a way to stay connected to it because it's obvious that she loves it so much and she gives that energy to the people around her and it's awesome.
It would be nice if Odeo Tiger managed you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That
would be perfect. And, you know, I know those girls miss her too because people who wore Chris Wolf merchandise to the Stardom show that happened on the same day got very enthusiastic reactions from the Stardom wrestlers when they were doing the autograph sessions.
Yeah, she's just so well liked. I know her and Jesse Gabbert are good mates as well, and there was pictures after the Pro Wrestling Eve Wrestle Queendom last year of Aja Khan and Chris Wolf hanging out in the pub.
Because
that's just so cool, you know. It's the way it should
be. Two of the coolest humans ever.
Because I was talking to Chris the Friday before about Aja and Aja's career, and like it's just so cool to see her wrestling in the UK, and we had a big conversation about Aja, and which didn't really make it into the interview because of all the other things we talked about. But yeah, she's just so cool and love her to bits, and I hope she does have a good retirement. But she's found her human, so she's happy.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice that she publicly came out the way she did.
Yeah.
I liked that. Good for her.
Exactly. We should also mention there were other people in this match because they had to wrestle somebody.
Yes.
Charlie Evans, Jessica Troy, Steph DeLander, and Zoe Lucas were awesome shitty heels. Just
I love Steph DeLander. She is so good.
Yeah, she is a good big person wrestler, relatively speaking, because everyone else like, this crew was really short, but yes.
Yeah, she's very tall. Since she dropped the Facebook thing, I didn't realize it was the same person at first, and it was really cool seeing her in person. Like, she's very charismatic.
Also, Angle's moved over because Charlie Evans had stolen Chris's wolf's head at Eve, I think, or a show in the UK, and that's when she got it back was in Shimmer. So there's like cross-promotional storylines going on in this match as well.
That's great.
It was. Also,
I did see the bit with the wolf head, but I didn't realize that it had that much story behind it.
Yes, there was. I'm not sure what it must have happened to Eve, because I can't think of anywhere else Charlie Evans wrestles for in the UK off the top of my mind. It might have been Fight Club Pro, possibly. I'm not really sure.
Mm.
But yes. Also, Solo Darling, like a year ago.
Yes! Love her.
Solo Darling has jumped. I mean, she's had about 18 months working at Shikara as a trainer. And it has got her so much better. Like, she's stronger, she's fitter, she's a lot thicker in the body, she's doing maneuvers that she couldn't do 18 months ago, and she's just such a much better wrestler. She's taken that job of being the matriarch figure in Shikara that Sarah Del Rey and Kimberly had before, and she's really run with it. And it's made her such a better wrestler.
There was a time right after, I was thinking the exact same thing, James. Like, there was a time right after Kim and Heidi had just left to go to WWE where Solo was pretty much the only woman they regularly had on every show. And she was someone who a lot of people who were like obnoxious male wrestling fans talked about as like, she's an example of someone who really sucks. They're like, well, at least that person's better than Solo Darling. And like, you know, which is a shitty fucking thing to say, but I saw people say that. And there was a long time where I kind of thought, I'm like, I don't know what it is exactly that she's going for, but I hope she figures it out. And man, she is just so put together as a performer now. She's so great. She's like a calming presence, and you can tell she's got that like veteran energy in her her tag team with Willow Nightingale, who I also love. And I love what she does in Chikara. I love what she does everywhere. She totally has it all together. And she worked really, really hard to do that. In like a year and a half, she went from being somebody that everybody was kind of like, you know, meh about, to being someone who is just demonstrably really competent, really, really good.
Yeah.
So hats off to her. She's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Right then, we move on to the main event for the Heart of Shimmer Championship. Samantha Hayes defeats Dust in a very, very, very good match. I think, like you said, the kind of wind had got taken out of the sails by too much cool stuff going on earlier in the card, which was unfair because these two did a really, really good job. But it is, as they were promoting it correctly, it has been a long series. This was the blow-off match. Rosemary was due to be there, but was banned from the building. I don't know how due to be there she was. Because Impact were doing other things, I think, at the time. But yeah, it was a well-told story, and this match was really good. I was impressed with both of them. I'd not seen either of them wrestle before, and this was like, I want to see these wrestle again. They were very, very good, and it kind of like showed what the Heart of Shimmer Championship was about, and it was good that they showcased a secondary title on one of the biggest cards of the year. Because you have to bear in mind that Shimmer don't do house shows. This is the one house show they will do all year. What they normally do is go to Berwyn, do four tapings in a weekend, a Saria night, Paige's mum calls it, girls' weekend out. Essentially, it's a paid holiday for everybody. But they do make some great wrestling whilst they're there. But generally speaking, this is not the norm for Shimmer. But this was very, very good. They used this time to promote somebody and put somebody on a big stage, and I thought that was well worthwhile.
Yeah. I'm going to confess. When this match started, all of us in my little group of people who came to watch the show had been sitting there the entire time without a bathroom break and without going to the merch table. And so I missed the entire first half of it, and I feel really bad about it because when I came back, what I saw at the end was really, really good. Having watched it now, because I did watch the broadcast version of it before we recorded this podcast, it was a really good match. I would like to say that this is a problem that happens on every major women's wrestling card that I have ever been to. And if you have to cut someone from the card in order to have like a 10 or a 15 minute intermission, it's probably worth it. Or like, for Christ's sake, put a men's match in the middle of the card so everybody has a cue that it's okay to like go to the bar and get a glass of water or something. Like, I just it's frustrating because women's wrestling fans are so committed. You have to be so committed. And you know, Shimmer is one of the events that's like it's not just like it's different from an indie promotion that doesn't normally do all women's cards doing an all women's card. Shimmer is a card where you know you're going to get great stuff and you're going to get some dream matches and you know you're going to be entertained. So nobody wants to get up out of their seat for any reason. No one wants to go to the merch table. No one wants to go to the bathroom. Like, there needs to be space in the middle of a show to do that. And that's anyway. This match is really good. Dust was someone I had never seen before this. And after this match, where she did a lot of really, really tough, death-defying things, about an hour and a half after that, she wrestled on the Stardom card, maybe 2 hours after that, she wrestled on the Stardom card and had a breakneck match with Hazuki. And she was so good in both of those matches. Like, holy shit, she is so talented. She is so athletic. She's a cardio machine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I really, that's how deep the talent pool is out there right now, that there are people that good that, like, those of us who kind of follow, you know, indie wrestling and women's wrestling to some extent, like those of us who put effort into that, there can still be people out there we've never heard of who are like really fucking great. That was one of my takeaways from the weekend, is that everybody who keeps saying WWE and AEW have signed all the good women's talents, all of those people are wrong.
Yeah. There's always going to be more.
Yeah. Samantha Heights was really good. I liked her. I did not fully get her. I mean, I get that she's supposed to be the baby face and Dust is supposed to be the bitchy mean heel. I didn't fully get what her story was from this one match, but I'm not going to hold that against her as a performer because, you know, I also, maybe I would have understood more of it if I had seen the first half of it in person. I don't know. Mm. I did like that they put the secondary title at the end because it's really hard when in a big card like this, when there's only a couple of actual title matches, it's hard for there to be stakes in everything.
Yes.
So the secondary title in Shimmer is really important, and I like the fact that they did that to nurture it. I wish I had seen the matches preceding this so I understood the story between those two characters a little bit better, and I'm gonna have to go back and watch those.
Okay, then. Right, well, that pretty much wraps up our coverage of this card. What was your favorite moments of WrestleMania weekend, though, Chelsea, as we've talked to everyone about this? What was your favorite moments of the whole weekend?
Oh, of the whole weekend? I gotta say, so WrestleMania, I watched in a bar with the Nobodies, the drag queens who review WWE pay-per-views. And a group of my friends, and the Nobodies had like their little party that they hosted, and watching WrestleMania with a group of other queer people is amazing because whenever the women have big fashion moments or amazing makeup, everybody gasps in delight. And the emotion that we all somehow managed to have still at the end of that weekend, we were all really, really exhausted when Becky Lynch won, was really, really cool. That was really awesome. Kofi Kingston winning was really fucking awesome, and I was super emotional about that. Also, I gotta say, the Stardom show that I went to, like, Oedo Tai dancing in front of me, like, 5 feet from my face. I will never forget that. I was, like, scream crying. It was awesome. Also, Mayu Iwatani did a moonsault 6 feet in front of my face. just did it. And
specifically for
I
you.
Had what?
Specifically for you.
Yeah, yeah. It felt that way. It felt that way. It was on the turnbuckle that was closest to my seat. And, oh, man, it was such a great weekend. There were too many shows that I wanted to go to that I didn't get to go to. But everything I went to was awesome. And the Shimmer show was awesome. Stardom was awesome. It was a really, really good action-packed weekend with a lot of really great women's wrestling.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Here's some other bits of news today. Dustin Rhodes has signed with AEW to wrestle Cody Rhodes at Double for Nothing. Double or Nothing, even. That's pretty cool. On Wednesday, there was a special anniversary on Wednesday. Do you know what it is, Chelsea, the anniversary on Wednesday?
No.
It is the 30th anniversary of the debut of Jushin Thunder Liger on Wednesday.
Is it really?
It is. Robbie Brookside, who's head trainer at NXT UK, WWE NXT UK, posted a poster where the main event was Funaki and Jushin Thunder. Oh, sorry, Flying Fuji Yamada and Flying Funaki, because they had to be flying because they were Japanese and they did like one move off the top rope onto those solid iron British rings. They were wrestling somewhere in Croydon on the 20th of April, which is that's why Robbie posted it today. That was the anniversary today. And then I looked through Wikipedia and said, 4 days later, he debuted at the Tokyo Dome as Jushin Thunder Liger. So there you go. It was like from Croydon to the Tokyo Dome in 4 days. And that's how wrestling works.
That's pretty epic.
It is. And he's been epic ever since.
Yes.
He is.
Still is.
Still is. And will be until the Tokyo Dome next January the 4th, when we will say goodbye. Nah. Anywho, thank you for listening to the Tripony Show today, and I would like to thank my guest, Miss Chelsea Spolon. Where can we find you on your internets there, Chelsea?
Gosh, my personal account, I made it private. I have a public account that I sometimes talk about wrestling. It's Panels and Pros on Twitter.
There you go.
That's my space right now.
Okay, you can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show Tripony Show on Twitter and the Facebook. The Tripony Show, the Facebook. No one's called it that in a long time. on Facebook, as the Tripony Show. You can find us on Patreon, where you can keep us free forever for everyone. And also, you can help us out, because powerslam.tv are really cool. And they have some really cool content. And you get a free month if you use our code, MulletWatch. That'll get you a free month there of a 12-month
subscription. James, can I tell you, I'm so excited to find out that code was a real thing, because the first time you tweeted it, I thought you were joking.
No. They said, I think a guy called Chris, who works for Powerslam TV, said, what code do you want? And I was like, it's got to be a code that Tripony Show fans will know. It's got to be a code that will make us all laugh. So Mullet Watch was the code.
That's great.
I was laying at bed at 2 o'clock in the morning when he emailed me. But yes, and it is. But we're very proud to be working with Powerslam.tv, because they host Sundae Girls, which is our favorite promotion, or one of our favorite promotions, and loads of other cool stuff like RPW and OTT and all sorts of cool things. So we did say we would do a review show of something from Powerslam.tv. We haven't got to that yet. Been a bit busy with stuff. I walked 30 miles this week, put it that way. Anywho... thank you very much for listening today. Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind will be around on Thursday, and tomorrow we'll be telling stories where I'm looking at the opening days of FMW at Sushi Anita and all of the Deathmatch King stuff there. So I hope you enjoy that too. Take care. Next week we're back with New Japan, when we will be looking at Sengoku Lord in Nagayo. I have no idea what Sengoku Lord means. I'm pretty sure this is what Impact Invasion Attack used to be, and they change it every year. What was wrong with Invasion Attack? It was a cool name, anyway.
It was a cool name.
Yeah, so change it back. New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah, Harold.
They take our input really seriously.
They do. This is like more people from WWE follow us as a channel and as presenters than New Japan do, and we don't cover WWE hardly at all. It's like, please, people like Robbie Brookside follow us, Mike Quackenbush follows us, they all work for WWE.
They're just hoping they're going to get to be like the one.
Yeah. They're going to do a special on Robbie Brookside or Mike Quackenbush. We probably should do a special on both of them. That'd be really cool. Watch some old Robbie Brookside matches. There you go. There you go. I'll make you watch old British wrestling again.
Okay.
Okay, take care anyway. We'll see you soon. Enjoy your week. Enjoy Powerslam.tv. Enjoy Freelance Wrestling Rewind. And enjoy telling stories. And we'll speak to you soon. Bye.